Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you, the podcast where fascinating people meet. It's my version of the old-style cultural salon, but mine is in cyberspace. And so I get to be your cruise director, groove mistress, and spiritual advisor. But most of all, I'm your host, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen, Jennifer, Perry, JP, you don't have to call me madam. I'm just delighted to be here and that you are too. I want to say thanks again to all of the people that have been subscribing and leaving nice reviews. These things seem to go in waves. It's like for a long time, most of my listeners were on this Blog Talk Radio, then Podbean. Then lately it seems Apple Podcasts is where I'm getting the most listeners. So I just find that fascinating. I don't know what it means. I'm just an armchair sociologist. But I'm here for you and bringing you entertainment, information, and great things. Last week we had the paranormal. Yeah, Marilyn and Patrick Opitz. And Patrick sort of took us into some areas that I didn't even know about, never heard of or anything. So like the animistics or so forth. But anyway, they were interesting. Also want to say coming up next Tuesday, we have Jonathan Nolan. He's an author, poet, artist, and a game creator. And he's got his book, Phaseropedia. It's a guide for gamers, especially role-playing and tabletop gamers. And if you love role-playing tabletop games, and you love Marvel, this is the show you want to be checking out with Jonathan Nolan next week. Also, if you remember, a couple of years ago, I had a singer on as a guest, Wendy Moten. And after, not because of me, but after the show was on, a few months later, we also saw her on The Voice. And now we're seeing even more. She already had a fantastic career as a singer, country singer. But thankfully, we're getting to see her tour even more now. So I think Wendy's going to be coming back soon. And that just delights me as well. Tonight, you know, I've been talking about tonight. Tonight's guest just fascinates me. She has got so many talents. And they're unending, which is the way life should be. You should be discovering more things about yourself that you like to do and can do as we go on. She's a musician, a singer, an author, performer, storyteller, producer, and all around. Oh, she's beautiful and one of the most enchanting women you will meet. And I'm talking about Mariana Williams. Mariana, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Well, thank you for calling me enchanting.
Oh, you are. You are.
Don't you love it if you're ever in France when you meet somebody, they say enchanté. That's like hello, enchanted, you know.
Oh. That's nice. Yeah. Have you spent a lot of time in France?
No, but I just know the words. And so like in L.A., you might say, yo. But in Paris, you would say, enchanted.
Well, I'll tell you what, then the next time you have we're going to talk about some things later on coming up about shows that you've got. Next time you have a tour to Europe, I would be happy to come along and carry your luggage for you, and then we can meet people and say enchanté all we want. I don't know where to start with you, but you've got so much going on. You have what you call a memoir, You have a three-woman show called Divas in Danger. And you're also a storyteller that began with, fascinatingly enough, a win at the Moth.
At the Moth. Right.
Yeah, yes. And I was watching you today on a podcast called Metastellar. I think it was some friends of yours, Eve King or E.E. King. And
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching that today. And, you know, hearing you tell the stories there about starting off as a storyteller and the steps to creating a good story, especially a good six-minute story. But we also know one of the big things to talk about, too, tonight is that there are the yearly finals to the Long Beach Searchers for the Greatest Storyteller coming up next weekend. So where do you want to get started, Mariana? This is like a board game, but we can start anywhere. Let's start with storytelling.
Okay. Oh, I'll just make it really quick. I started out as a piano player and a singer, and I played around Los Angeles, and I played in duos and, you know, girl trios. And I just wanted to be Stevie Nicks, okay? That's not much.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Don't we all? So that career led, I felt like I kind of did that as much as I could. And then I went into booking. That was my second career. And that's actually how I met. I was booking at a casino and a private and a theater, and I met my husband Paul Williams, a songwriter. I booked him, and he was so nice, you know. And I wanted to update his promo material because, like I said, I was booking a casino and a performing arts center, and so we got to know each other kind of on that professional level, and then, you know, it took off, and we've been married 18 years now.
18 years? That's fantastic.
Great. I know.
Yeah.
And he's a great person. He's a lot of fun. So he's still working, writing songs, and, you know, the Rainbow Connection everybody knows, and he wrote Evergreen with Barbara Streisand, and Barbara Streisand's coming out with a new album that she's calling Barbara Streisand Evergreen. And she's doing all of her favorite songs on there. So that was kind of a nice tribute to all of her songs and calling her album that. But anyway, so then I was into booking. And then from there, I went into writing books, and I wrote three chick lit novels. Veronica Bennett was a booker, a songwriter who was having an affair with a celebrity. I don't know where I get this stuff, but I did. I have to write three books. So I wrote Happy New Year, Darling, and then I wrote Stars and Stripes, 4th of July, and then I wrote the Valentine's State. So Veronica Bennett is a booker who gets into accidental crime, and it's comedy, you know, too. So then I did that for a while, and then I went to the Moth, and I couldn't get on stage because the way they do the storytelling at the Moth, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the Moth storytelling, but it's wonderful. It's on NPR. Mm-hmm. And people get up and tell a five-minute true story, and they don't know if they're going to be selected. You put your name in a hat, and then they literally draw a name out of a hat. And even though you're nervous and you're prepared and there's 100 people there, you don't know if you're going to be chosen. So it's very nerve-wracking. Plus, you can't drink while you're waiting. Because you got to be ready with you. You know, it's without a net. You can't use any notes or anything. So the first time I went up there, the subject was music, and I have had a career in music. So I told a five-minute true story that I thought was going to be a tearjerker. It was going to be really sad, I thought, because I dated this attorney when I was singing at the Bonaventure Hotel. And then later, you know, he turns out to be homeless. I mean, really soon after that. Really soon. And, you know, so I was thinking, you know, God, I could have saved him, you know. He was going to be the entertainment lawyer, and I was a chanteuse, you know, and I was going to be all that. And then later, he's just like a bum. you know, downtown Los Angeles. And then I already had a kid and I got knocked up. I had a kid and now I'm working at a bar down, I'm working at a happy hour downtown at a steakhouse. And he freaking walks by, Jennifer. He walks by. And he is dressed like, he dresses, I'm not making this up. And he was dressed like Jesus. He had all these white robes on. And he had a stick that said Jesus. He did. Well, he didn't have a white robe on. He was wearing white clothes that were dingy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had a stick
word.
That said Jesus saves. You know, I am the Redeemer. And like that. And so I'm standing out in front of the steakhouse on my break feeling like, oh, my gosh, I had a baby. I love my baby. I love my husband. But, geez, you know, I used to play at the 40th floor at the Bonaventure Hotel, the top gig in Los Angeles, and now I'm at a steakhouse. I just walk outside, and I'm standing on the sidewalk, you know, when this guy comes towards me, and I'm going, and now I got to deal with this guy, you know, this clown. And he comes up, and he's saying, you know, and then I said, he goes, Mariana? And I go, what? And he says, Mariana? And I go, David? And we're horrified to see each other. What we had become, you know, what he had been an attorney. You know, I'm talking a year and a half before that, he was an attorney wearing a suit, okay? And I was playing at the Bonaventure. Now I'm fat.
No.
Standing in front. I'm not that fat. You know, I weigh 100 and, I weigh 110, okay? But for me, you know. But I had big boobs because I was lactating. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Lactating.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I have a baby at home that's 5 months old. So he sees me and I see him. And then he says, I go, David, you know, and he goes, what happened to you? That's what he says to me.
Oh,
what happened to you?
Stop
and I
it.
Said, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, I'm, he goes, what are you doing here? That's what it was. What are you doing here? And I said, I'm playing here. I'm on my break. And he says, you were there. You played at the Bonaventure on the 40th floor. What happened to you? And then I said, well, at least I'm not Jesus walking by. You know, what happened to you? And he says, and he looked at me like for a moment, he kind of got it. And he goes, well, I'm the real Jesus. And then I said, and the real Jesus smokes. He throws a cigarette on the ground and, you know, stomps it out with his foot. And he goes, I'm trying to quit. And so then I had to go back in and start playing songs again like nothing happened. So that's the story I told at the Moth, and I won. And then I started Long Beach Searches for the Greatest Storyteller so I could tell stories all the time and not have to have my name pulled from a hat. But when I told the story, Jennifer, you're laughing now. And they laughed in the audience, but I'm telling you, when I started to tell the story, I had never told it to people before. I told it to friends, but I thought they were going to be sad and they would be having tears. You're just like, this guy, oh my gosh, all this happened. But it turned funny at a point, you know, I guess when I told the audience that we were making out in the car, you know, after my gig, she would carry my books to the car. I was single. It was okay, you know.
Yeah.
We would make out in the car and stuff. And then people started laughing. And then I started making it funnier. And then, it got funny and I won. So there's that. That led me into storytelling.
So, listen, describe for people who have never been there. When you first met him, you were playing at the Bonaventure. And you had this grand way of entering.
Well, what I said was, you know, I take requests, and I said, what would you like to hear? And he said, I want to hear the song Rose in Spanish Harlem. Now, that's not a request you hear often. You can kind of judge people by the songs they request. You know, there's a rose in Spanish Harlem. I'm sure you know the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
A red rose up in Spanish Harlem. And I said, wow, I haven't heard that. And he requested, he said, well, my wife left me, and she was a Spanish girl, and I haven't been able to get over it, and I can't work. It's like, whoa, you know.
No.
But he didn't drink, and he was there every night, you know. But I have conversations with the customers. But here's another funny thing that happened. One night I'm talking to a customer, and I said, so what are you into? You know, what are you doing here, or something like that? And he goes, tax attorney. And so then I said, oh, you know, and then I'm making small talk. I go, are you busy this time of the year? And he goes, well, I'm only busy certain times of the year, and then stuff like that. And then I said, do you have pets? And he said, no, why do you ask? And I said, well, you know, you're into taxidermy. And he said, I said, I'm a tax attorney. So that was true, too. I pictured him skinning animals after he got off work, you know, taxidermy, stuffing animals. And he goes, I'm a tax attorney. I said tax attorney. So it was fun at the piano bar. So I understand you were a singer, too. Tell us all a little bit about your singing. Anything happened to you singing?
Well, yeah, you talk about singing, and I know you've got more stories. About the only, well, I remember having I was subbing for another singer at a gig at a place in downtown Atlanta. So I'd only worked with the drummer. I hadn't worked with the entire band before. So I'm subbing for this singer, and there were two horn players. And I think it was My Funny Valentine, because then it comes, you know, time for the horn players. You know, they're doing their solo.
Sure.
And the piano player thinks it's too long, so you tell them to shut up, to stop it. And then he starts fussing at me. So the way he's on the one end of the stage, and then there's me, the two horn players, and then the bass and drums in back. Well, he starts fussing at me about it. And this is during the song. And then he starts fussing at the horn players. So it's going like, is your figure less than Greek? Because I told you, you let the horn players go. They're going to be gone for 2 weeks on that solo. Is your mouth a little? I'm serious. You let him do that again, you're out of the gig, and so is he. When you all shut up, man. You hired me to play the horn. I'm going to play the horn. I'm a horn player. That's what I do. Are you smart? And that's exactly how it's going with me in the middle, you know. So yeah,
I can picture the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
You can see it.
You're
trying
to keep the mood.
Yeah, you're trying to keep connection with the people in front of you. You know, and you're thinking, I got this three-ring circus going on up here. And why don't I just quit right now?
Stuff like that.
Huh? Yeah. So
I've had similar things like that, too. Yeah, it's a fun job, though. It's fun singing.
Yeah. And you, there's a, I'm going to mention your memoir, as you called it, and I can't even think about it without laughing, because I am loving this book so much. Love, Regret, and Accidental Nudity is the title. And, you know, with a title like that, you know, you got something going on. So, you have a story there in the beginning about a gig you had, just you and another guy, and about the dancers somehow.
Yes,
that's
the water. Funny. The water tipped over on the stage, and it leaked behind the curtain, and it was New Year's Eve, and the dancers were going to be dancing right there once our part was over. And it's the same thing with you, and I'm hearing them behind the curtain going, damn you, you tipped over your water. The water is wetting our stage. We have to dance here. And I'm singing, tall and tan and young and lovely, tip that water off the stage. You know, and even though they can't see the dancer behind the curtain, the girl's mouth is like 5 inches from my ear, you know, because I'm standing in front of the curtain. Yeah, so that's very similar to what you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was horrifying.
And then you tried to mop it up and make it better, and they still didn't appreciate it?
I just left the stage for a few minutes while my partner was doing a solo. I grab a towel and start mopping it up behind me, wearing high heels, really high heels, and really sheer nylons. I'm on my hands and knees wiping it up, and then they shriek, that's my face towel. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. And then I run back out there, hoping I don't have a run in my nylons. Yeah, that was rich.
You're thinking, and why don't I have my own sitcom about a singer? You know, because you know, you've got enough stories.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is the part that people don't see.
So I put these stories, these anecdotes, a lot of them, not either of those, but a lot of things that happened in my piano playing and booking life in the books that I wrote. It's a Veronica Bennett series. So if you go to Mariana Williams, author, then you see Happy New Year, Darling, which is probably the best. That's about Paul and me, how I met Paul.
Oh,
kind of racy. And
ooh,
then the next, you know, the holiday ones, you know, the Valentine's Day, which is more about a strange couple of people I knew. And the third one is probably the best one because I'd written two books by then. So the third one is Stars or Stripes, 4th of July, and it takes place in Hilton Head Island. And all of them are standalone. I'm kind of proud of them. But after I wrote those novels, I just went on to doing the short form, which is storytelling for 6 minutes. And then I'm thinking of doing even a shorter form, which is cartoon captions. Like, I love to take pictures and just do a funny caption with it. So that's a really short form because that's one sentence.
Okay. When Mariana Williams says short form, she means. Okay. Okay.
Then
so
after
when
that,
I finish,
it'll be a haiku.
It'll just be what just a couple of swear words after that. The next one. So when I get the acronyms, we'll have to figure them out. It'll be like a puzzle. It'll be with the New York Times. So you know, in the Sunday New York Times, where they have the magazine with the puzzles at the end.
Yeah,
I do too.
Right.
So that'll have yours
fun
in there. They'll have the Mariana Williams acronym puzzles. You'll have to figure it out and won't get the answers till the next Sunday. That'll drive you crazy. this is good because when I get, I was out of town this weekend and I was reading your book. I started before I left, reading on the plane. So now I know I don't have to slow it down because I've got three more books coming to read. So Love, Regret, Accidental Nudity, Happy New Year, Darling, the Valentine's Date, and Stars or Stripes, 4th of July. So, folks, and I'll be sharing this and Mariana's website on all of my social media. So that way, if you, a lot of people listen when they're driving or when they're running or on a treadmill. So this way, you know that it'll be there for you if you can't write it down.
And Jennifer, two of them are an audiobook. Two of them are an audio.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
Right. Yeah. The first one and the last one are in audio. Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody loves audio. I mean, I do. I used to travel, you know, drive a lot.
Sure.
It'd be like having Mariana there reading to you.
Oh. I'm not reading them. They have an actress reading it. It's not me. It's an actress doing it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But
it's still heaven.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
so,
my experiences, yeah.
Okay,
my stories are 90% true.
Okay, so we're going to have to guess where you, what did you just have to change a name here and there? Or,
right.
Okay. Look, I'm still laughing about the tax attorney turning into Jesus. And I just got a text from Megan Whitlock, my producer, just sent a text. She says, I'm listening now. Y'all are amazing. But she says, that taxidermy's killing me. So I know, Megan.
Good. True story. You can't make this stuff up.
No. And if you could, you know. Now, when you were talking about your story based on the time that you were working as a booker, booking entertainment, and then you met your husband, you had still had a lot going on, and I'm just going to name a couple of things. And by the way, thanks for sharing with us that your husband's such a sweetie, because your husband has written songs that have been played, sung by everyone from
Carpenter.
The Carpenter,
Three Dog Night,
Night,
right.
Jack yeah. Jones, all these singers, to Kermit the Frog, for Pete's sake. I mean, every...
Right.
Sorry. And, but all the times I've watched him on television, and I used to love to hear him sing, and I love to watch him sing, because he would hold that microphone like he was singing, like he would, you could just feel he kind of close his eyes, and you always say, you know how they say, don't meet your heroes, you know, they might say, you'll be sorry if you met him. So I'm glad to know that he's as nice as I always thought he would be.
Right. And it's interesting because one of the storytellers in the finals was in Paul's movie, Phantom of the Paradise. A lot of people remember the movie Phantom of the Paradise. A lot of good
yes.
a lot of good songs came from that. And Peter Elbling, who is a storyteller now and an author in his own right, I asked him to call in and talk to you a little bit. He's going to be in the finals this Sunday, August 20th, in Long Beach. If any of your listeners are in Long Beach, come on by.
Oh, okay. So tell us more about this. This is the show you produce, Storytellers.
It's a monthly show that was in Long Beach because I got excited about the moth. And then I started my own storytelling monthly show in 2011. And I've been doing it ever since. So we have the finals once a year. Of course, during the pandemic, we didn't have finals. But we have 9 finalists that are going to be on the show in Long Beach at the Golden Sales Hotel, which is a big hotel on Pacific Coast Highway in Long Beach. And if you go to MarianaWilliams.net, there's more information. But I know you're a national show, but if anybody's in Long Beach, come on down. And Peter was acting in Paul's movie.
Oh, cool.
And we got reconnected, and I think he's going to call into the show and talk to you.
You know what? I think he is. I think he's just about to call in right now. So I've got to – well, no, I don't have to play anything right now.
I have 9 storytellers. I've got 9 tellers. He's one
9?
Of them.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, well, coming into the genie bottle right now seems to be coming from California, I believe. And could this be Peter?
It certainly is, yes. Hello, Jennifer. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. I am fabulous. How could I not be with the podcast? We have both of you on, for God's sake, Mariana Williams, okay?
And Prince Peter. Her... He goes by Prince Peter, by the way.
Prince Peter.
Prince Peter,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, bringing her ultra-cool friends along, too. So, yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well and delighted to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I've got to say that when I was reading about you, I love how cleverly you used your last name with just a little division to make it L. Bling for your
yes.
TikTok handle. How perfect.
Yes. Yes, Elbling. Yes. I've had it. I mean, that's, excuse me. It's because I've had so much trouble with people pronouncing my name correctly. Elbing or Eblin or Elberg or Oblong. That's the reason that I decided in my recent reincarnation I would call myself Prince Peter. Because nobody can make too much of a mistake with that. I did think of calling myself King Peter, but I thought that was a little pretentious. So I settled for Prince Peter. Actually, while I'm on this subject, I could tell you a little story, if you wouldn't mind, about my last name.
If Mariana doesn't mind, I don't mind.
You tell.
Yeah. Dude.
Okay. Well, Elbling may be very uncommon here, but it's very common in one country in Europe, Luxembourg, of all places. And I discovered that many years ago when I was hitchhiking through Europe with my wife at the time. And we arrived back in Luxembourg to get a plane back to the States. And we had several hours to kill, so I asked the guy at the airport where we could spend the time. And he said, well, there's a bar down at the end of the airfield. Why don't you go hang out there? So we trotted down to the bar, and while my wife sat outside, I went inside to buy some liquor. And it was really more like a shack than a bar. little guy huddled over a beer in the corner and the sad bartender looking at me. And I went up to him and I said in my best German, "Kann ich ein gut bottle of Wein haben bitte?" To which he said, "How much money are you having?" So I pulled out all the coins in my pocket and showed them to him. And he said, "Why are you not two good glasses of wine having?" So I said, "Because I must for 3 hours be here staying." So he sighed and reached behind him and pulled the bottle out from the rack and stood it in front of me on the bar. And I leapt up and down going, "Elbling, Elbling wine. Elbling, that's my name. That's me, Elbling." To which he said, "That's nothing to be proud of." It turns out that at the time, Elbling wine was like the Ripple of Europe. It was really sad wine. But now it has become up in the world, and it's a very respectable wine to have. But I still prefer to go by the name of Prince Peter for these particular occasions.
Did you bring a bottle back so you have the label at least?
Oh, I have the label, absolutely, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I have the label. I wish I could show it to you, but you'd have to. We'll have to do a video call, and we'll show you the label on that.
Okay. So, now, how did the two of you meet? I mean, you were in you had a part in Phantom of the Paradise, and then what did you come back? Did you run into Paul? Not run into.
Let me think. No, actually, I was in a musical, a play called Lemmings with John Belushi, if you remember John Belushi.
Yeah.
This is many years ago in the 1970s, and Brian De Palma came down to see the show, and he hired me from the show. And so that's how I was hired to be in Phantom.
Okay. And so did you stay in touch with Paul?
Oh, off and on over the years, yes, we have connected. He's been very kind. When I was in hospital, I asked people, instead of sending me requests, that they would sing a song for me. And Paul sang a wonderful song, which was great.
And you healed. It sounds like you healed.
Oh, I'm definitely healed. I have a valve replaced in my heart, and I'm told it's been a success because I'm here now. So I'm very grateful.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, we are glad to hear that. We're glad that it's a success. What a wonderful thing to ask for a song.
I know. Yeah. I know. It is. What a good idea.
I can see that being healing.
Oh, it was very healing. Yes, I got about a dozen different people saying songs as opposed to sending cards. So it was really great.
Yes. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Well, so then how did you become I mean, obviously you've told stories in your life, but to get up on stage and tell stories?
Well, I had a similar experience to Mariana. I went to the Moth. I didn't win the round I went in, but I heard about it. I'd been telling stories for a long time, but it was only in the past couple of years that I heard about the Moth. And when I went there, my name was also picked out of the hat, and I told a story there, and it was a wonderful experience. And so I started telling stories all around town, and I think just by chance, I actually went to Google and found out where other storytelling places were in L.A., and that's how I came across the Long Beach venue. And I went down there and told a story, and I was lucky, and I've been selected to be in the finals this coming Sunday, right? So, which I'm looking forward to enormously.
That's
and I saw you be in between. I want to mention that I saw Peter like a few years ago, and he wrote a book called The Food Taster, and it was really clever. So he's a good writer. I think you were going to classes at Santa Monica City College. Is that right?
That's
writing
correct.
Classes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yeah, your book's great. I passed it along to other people, which you probably hate hearing that because people are supposed to buy the book.
No, I'm delighted. Believe me, I'm delighted. That's great.
Yes, and I haven't read it, but I've read about it, so I would love to read it and then have you come back sometime and talk about it, if you would, Peter.
Oh, I'd love to. Are you kidding? I'd love to, yes.
Oh, good.
It was, it caused me, unfortunately, to have to go to Italy twice and eat a lot of food while I was there.
Oh, dear.
Yes,
oh,
it was
the
really
sacrifice.
Horrible. I know,
oh,
I know.
Oh, you poor man.
I know. And now, just because of that, I've written a book about France, and I've got to go to France and taste all the food there, too. It's, it's very trying. Yes.
Oh, you just give it all for your people, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, listen, folks, we're going to stop for about a minute, almost 2 minutes, and with the message, and I'll be right back with Mariana Williams and Peter Thunderbird. No, you, Peter Ripple. No,
okay.
Prince Peter. Prince,
just
Prince
Peter would
Peter.
Be great.
Okay.
Ugh, what a day. I just need some me time for once. Yes, perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't...
I mean, the world has gone crazy, right? I mean, this whole pandemic. I don't even know if I'm coming or going anymore. You know what I mean? But the one thing during the pandemic that I found out, right, that was a good thing was the Madame Perry Salon. I mean, this podcast, right, when you hear her laughing, all you want to do is laugh. Right? When her dog's barking in the background and she's talking to the duck, I'm like, she's going to an interview, and I'm like, this podcast is the best podcast I've ever heard before. You know what I mean?
Oh, Sebastian, you didn't have to say that. All right, so we're back. If you're just tuned in tonight to the live show, which is August 15th, 2023, 8:37 p.m., GMT minus 4, I believe it is, Peter. I have Alper, producer, musician, super talent, Mariana Williams, and her friend, actor, storyteller, Prince Peter, also known as Peter Elblom, here with us. So, guys, what do you want to talk about now? Oh, tell people one more time, if you would, Mariana, about where to get information if they want to, people want to watch the storytelling finals August 20th and 23rd.
It's August 20th only. It's this Sunday.
Oh, just
in Long Beach, California. Yeah, in Long Beach, California. And it's at a hotel called the Golden Sales Hotel, which is on Pacific Coast Highway. We have a nightclub that we've rented called the PCH Club. And we have also a musician, Harold Payne, is a fantastic regional musician. He's written songs for Rod Stewart and Snoop Dogg and a lot of people in between. Also a comedian. We have a couple comedian guests coming down. So I try and, you know, make it really nice for all the audience that comes. And then, of course, the 9 storytellers. And you know one of them because you know Brandy. We have 5 girls that are going to tell 6-minute tales. It's funny because their names are all kind of Brandy, Vicky, Cassie, Terry, and Charlie. 5 gals and 4 guys, Larry, John, Ben, and Prince Peter. So we have 9 storytellers I'm going to tell a story to.
It's going to be, so
if you want to go
great.
At brown tickets, brown tickets, brown pickets. paper tickets. But anyway, if you just go on my website, marianawilliams.net, it's all the information you need. And when's the last time you came out to California, Jennifer?
Actually, it was a year ago this past weekend. I was out there August of last year. So I guess I'm a little overdue to come back, aren't I?
Right. And I think Peter's doing his one-man show in September, Peter. Tell us
yes,
about
I
that.
Yes, I am. September 17th at the Venice Resident Theater, where I'll be telling an evening of stories and songs. So anybody who's listening who's in town, please come on by. You'll have a wonderful evening, I assure you.
What time does that start?
That will start at 8 o'clock.
I'm coming. So is Paul. I told Paul about it. We're both coming.
Okay. Now I'm going to have to go check my Delta frequent flyer miles again, see if I can get back out of town.
Oh, I'd love you to come.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Now, if you, one thing we didn't talk about when we talked last week was curious about, fascinated by, Divas in Danger.
Divas in Danger. That's a show that I toured with 4 years ago, and we're not doing it anymore. I mean, we did it almost 2 years, and I took the top two storytellers that I liked, and I produced a show, the three of us, and we did really well. It was great. But the Long Beach Searches is a 6-minute, locals tell a 6-minute true story that happened to them. The audience votes, which is different than The Moth, because in The Moth, the audience doesn't vote, and I give $100 to the top story of the night, which no other storytelling shows do that.
Mm-mm.
But I have a little story to tell you as a booker, if you want another experience from me.
Yes, definitely.
Hello.
All right, well, okay. I started booking comedy nights back in the 80s and 90s. Well, it wasn't the 80s, really. It was pretty much the 90s. And it was one-nighters in hotels, and that was going really well. But then this one time, a friend of a friend got me an opportunity to book entertainment for the Bar Association in San Diego. So that was a really big gig for me. Big Christmas dinner in La Jolla, which is a kind of a fancy spot in San Diego. So I had a big budget, and I submitted a comedy team called Mac and Jamie. It was a comedy duo that was out of my price range for my regular comedy nights. But since I was booking for the Bar Association in San Diego, I had a big budget, and I sent the tape to the person in charge, and I got the gig. And they were clean. They had some name value, and they literally had a TV show that was just starting, the Mac and Jamie show. So we come to, all things are good. I think this is going to be great. I'm going to be doing the bar associations in every town, and I was very proud to have this kind of booking.
Mm-hmm.
So we go down, and it's a big ballroom, and people are sitting there, and they're eating their steaks. They're going to make a few announcements, and then the 25-minute set of the clean, non-controversial comedy team. And I'm happy. Everybody's happy. Okay. Well, that year, in 1989, Betty Broderick murdered her ex-husband, Dan Broderick, and his second wife, Linda, while they were sleeping in their bed. This got a lot of media attention. The scorned wife sneaks into the bedroom while they're sleeping and blows them away. And this was a TV movie. Do you guys remember this?
Oh,
the Betty Broderick story.
With Mary Dexter Burney?
It was Betty Broderick's story, and it was a TV movie and everything like that. So let me set the scene again. Steak dinner, announcement, but the announcement was, we are all so sorry about our associate and the law firm, Daniel Broderick. I didn't know he was the head of the law firm that I'm doing this for. There's wails of sad gas. People are going, people openly crying at their tables. Then they said, and also his legal secretary, who was also blown away at the scene. Now there's more gasps of grief, and people went from eating cake to openly weeping at their table.
Oh, no.
The law partner says, "We will never forget, you know, Daniel Broderick and how much he meant to the firm," and he, you know, on and on. And then says, "And now let's hear from your comics, Mac and Jamie."
Oh no.
They couldn't get a laugh if they had gone down and tickled these people. It was terrible. Now, I'm not taking away from the crime, but I'm telling you, those murders were fresh in everybody's mind and gruesome. But I had to stand at the back of the room holding a check that was fresh and watching the comics die, and that was gruesome. Hasn't there been enough death already? It was horrible.
Oh, no.
You guys come out and go, "Hey, what about the airplane food? You know, hey, you guys, what about the airplane food? Did you ever notice?" And it's like dead silence. Go, "Okay, we're going to cut that bit." No matter what they did, the audience never came back, and I was so embarrassed for everybody. And that, when you're watching somebody like that, it's 25 minutes, goes really slow. I think they cut out in about 15 minutes, and everybody was glad. But that was like one of my booking nightmares. Isn't that weird?
Oh, my word. Oh, Mariana.
She was convicted of two counts of second-degree murder and sentenced to 32 years in prison.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, whoa.
Oh, and the poor, you and the comedians.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. And everybody in the room who knew that was going to happen.
Of course, when they go home, you know, what do people always say to a comedian? You know, how did you do? You go, "I killed," or "I bombed."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. His wife, our law partner's wife killed, and these comics are going to bomb. Have a good night. Enjoy your dessert.
God, they should have given them time to drink more before they made that announcement. You know, just anything that could have helped.
You
oh, Lord.
You can't predict it. You can't predict how things are going to go. I think they could have done their – I think, you know what, thinking back, they bowed their head and they did a moment of silence too. You could hear people gulping and, you know, and now for your comics.
No. You know, I don't know what it was. About 10 years ago, I was living in Asheville, but I went to do I got a spot ahead of time at an open mic at a place called Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I went, and a friend of mine who's a radio DJ or gave traffic and stuff on several channels too, she said, "Well, let me know when, because I also, you know, my feed goes out to the Carolinas, and I can just, you know, give you a shout out about it and tell people if they're there, stop by and say hello." Oh, that'd be great. That would be great. And then after I got through with my bit, me and two of the other comics went out. It's still daylight. We were sitting outside, and we thought we saw the parking lot is a bit more elevated, a lot more elevated. And we thought we saw a guy and a girl, like a, you know, boyfriend-girlfriend look, that were fighting. So I'm with a male and a female comic, and the male says, "Hey, dude, that's not cool. You don't push a woman." And he gets up to go to put a stop to it. And then we go up because then we see that she's on the ground. Turned out she had overdosed.
Whoa.
And she was starting to get white and starting to turn blue. He'd called the ambulance by then. So once that's all done, she was starting to turn blue, but the EMTs managed to get her stabilized, get her back, and get her into there, take her to the hospital. And exactly then, I finally, once they left, I get in my car, and that's when my girlfriend with the radio show calls me and says, "Well, did you kill?" Joy, I swear, not my fault, okay? But she didn't really die. Yeah, but that's the thing. So what do you say? You know, did you kill?
Right. Did you kill?
I had nothing to do with it. Anyway, that's my little story. You know how it is. Well,
I do. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of your show.
I am thrilled to have you here. And I want to say, too, while I've got a couple of minutes, there are some people that have texted me and sent messages. I haven't even asked. If you wanted to call and if you had a question for Mariana or Peter, you could do that. The number is 646-716-9922. Or you could send me a message on Facebook through to Jennifer Maudette Perry, and I'd be happy to share it. I know I've got people that have texted in from Chicago that are listening and Missouri. So,
hey, wouldn't it be something if Mac and Jamie were listening to the show? I'd tell them the truth. You know, they're somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That would be the icing on the cake, just to have Mac and Jamie
call in Mac and Jamie.
Yes.
Mac and Jamie, where are you? Are they still together? Are they still performing?
I don't know. They had a great comedy team. Like I said, they had a shot at their own show for a while. They were very good. But can you ask us the questions that you're getting, or do they? How do we do that?
Okay, well, actually, I've had the text were going, I'm listening now, I'm listening now. This is fun. I'm listening now. This is great. So they're not giving me any questions. They're just saying they're listening.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
I know,
oh,
that was
great.
Cool, isn't it? So to Peter in Chicago, and thank you. And if you do want to call, please do. To Pat and Ricky in Missouri, I'm glad you're having a good time. You know, that's the thing I think I told Mariana before is that, Peter, is that sometimes I give the number of people don't call, and then they start messaging me after going, why didn't you ask this and this and this? I go, well, why didn't you call and ask? Because I was having a good time listening.
I didn't know that people could call in like that. And then could you get another call and it would go to the board, like that we could all hear it?
Sure. Yes, definitely.
Well, maybe
just
I'll
like
ask
how
Paul Williams to call in. Should I ask Paul to call in?
Stop it. This is great.
He's here. I'll just cut out a minute. And I'll get him to call in. Okay?
All right.
Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Jennifer?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
My
I'm
going to
be back.
Well, Peter, this is getting to be, this is like having a little pajama party almost, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. It's wonderful.
I'm sure you've been to a pajama party or just had a private one before, just a you and.
It's been a while, but thank you for reminding me.
Yes, I can't wait to read your book, and because it just sounds fascinating to me, the fact that it is based on actual history.
Well, yes, it is. The book is set in the Middle Ages, just sort of the birth of the Renaissance. And as you may or may not know, in Italy there was a lot of people fighting for power in these little kingdoms. So consequently, everybody was on their guard all the time. And they needed food tasters because new foods were coming in from America and from other places. And nobody knew exactly how they tasted, so they had to have a food taster to make sure that everything was above board, as it were. And there were quite a few food tasters around.
Well, that's not
and
very
adventurous.
And the book
is set in that period. I beg your
pardon? I mean, for the people who needed a food taster, I said that's not very adventurous of them to not give it a shot.
No, but it kept them alive. The
all
food
right.
taster
well,
was the first to go.
The food taster would be poisoned. It could be poisoned.
I've got ow, that's tough. See, there are worse gigs, right? Okay, usually this is the part where I say, okay, I think someone else is trying to get into the genie bottle here. So,
okay.
Mariana, if you could please just reach over and pull back the beaded curtain.
Okay.
And, oh, thank you. Don't you just love that 60s, 70s vibe to it? And thank you. And let's see who we have. Well, hello and welcome to Madame Perry's Salon.
Thank you so much. I have a very specific mission. In 1974, I lost my car keys in the Majestic Theater. I think you have somebody on the show that may have picked them up for me.
Well, and I've been hanging on to them all this time, waiting for this call.
All these years. Oh, my
yes.
God. It's Paul Williams, and I'm a fan of both your guests and now of you as well, Jennifer. So.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I have been a fan of yours for so long and watched you on TV. I can even remember specific conversations you had with Mike Douglas and somebody else.
I wish
so.
I could.
I think it was somebody was going to say, of course, now that I've been a little bit around showbiz people, I know this may have been planned, but somebody, Mike Douglas was going to sing us, and somebody says, well, why don't the other person sing, whoever they were? I don't know. And then Mike says, well, I don't know, you sing it. No, you sing it. And then you said, fine, I'll sing the song. So it was
I have no recollection of that, but Mike, like most of the people that I managed to, you know, I was as addicted to the camera as I was to the other substances in those years, and Mike was always so generous, and all Mike, Merv, Johnny, they put up with my unedited comments, and I wanted desperately to be Oscar Levant. And Marianne, I actually remember that I once said on Carson that I thought of myself as a combination of Donny Osmond and Oscar Levant.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I doubt if you're old enough to remember
Paul,
Oscar Levant is.
And then, Paul, you would say, but you looked like Haley Mills when you were young.
I know. You know, all of those little images and names that I bring up, which are so perfect for the moment, have those are images that and references that are a little dim these days. So, you know, but they'll have to do.
Well, yes, I didn't know Oscar Levant personally, but I did know he was, you know, also a musician, a pianist, and game show panelist. And thankfully, there are some channels where we can still see some of those game shows again. You know, Paul, it's just like if people say, well, you mention something and people say, well, I don't remember that. That was before my time. Well, have you ever heard of the Bible, the dictionary, you know, any of those things?
Well, Google is like the cyber version of that because nothing really goes away once it manages to make it onto the net. And but the great thing about showing up like this is all is I can give some well deserved light and great affection and respect for, well, obviously for Mariana, because I think she's a brilliant writer and most adventurous storyteller I've ever known. The story that she tells best is her life. And it changes about every 4 years. She decides to go do something that she hasn't done before and does it brilliantly. But the gentleman sitting across from you, I don't know if are you, you know, Peter, are you in the studio or are you on the phone?
No, I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
All of us are on the phone. It's like a party line from the old days.
Yes,
it's like a party line from the old days. I'm going to put you on hold and see if I can't get a hold of no, wait a minute. I can't remember her name. There was somebody that was wonderful that I shared a party line with at one time. No, I didn't. We had the same. We had the same answering service. And sometimes when you would plug into your answering service, you'd get both of us at the same time. And we're like, wait a minute.
That's crazy.
At any rate, it's a great chance to just throw just a little affection of just what an amazing. Not only choreographer and actor he was, but he just brought in an attitude that was both professional and relaxed. We'll get this done. That was just a huge part of Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, how kind.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
Now I've got a picture.
But maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. You know.
Okay.
Possibly. Very possibly.
Okay, Brett.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, I don't know if you've seen that movie. It really holds up. Phantom of the Paradise is a great movie.
Yes, I have.
I
and it's been a while.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to have to revisit it.
If you're going to deflect my compliments like that, I'm going to save them for somebody else.
Okay.
But we did have an amazing time, and against all odds, it was something that happily was pretty much ignored when it came out, and I think because of that, so many people that loved it so much just insisted on sharing it with their friends, and it now has created the attention and the cult status and the praise that you deserve, my friend, and I think we all do.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And in Winnipeg, we're like saints.
We're the Beatles.
Yes, in Winnipeg, we are the Beatles, yes.
Oh, my God.
Wonderful.
There are two cities in the world where the picture was a huge hit. One was Winnipeg, and the other one was Paris. And they're such totally different urban settings. At the time, Winnipeg almost didn't qualify as an urban setting. It does now, but it's interesting that out of that job, I have, you know, the one of the nice things that's happened through the years is people that loved Phantom of the Paradise or Bugsy Malone or some of the things that didn't get a lot of attention over here, especially, you know, have come up and said, you want to do something together. So all of a sudden I'm working with Daft Punk or Edgar Winter or people like that.
Oh,
and it's been a great fishing hook for future jobs.
Well, you deserve it, Paul. You did a wonderful job with that. I mean, people should know that the album was nominated for an Oscar, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken,
it was. Well, the song score was nominated for an Oscar, and it was a labor of love, and it's, you know, the two things I love so much is that acting and film, and obviously and music, and it's one of the few chances I ever had to do both on a picture where I got to act in something and then do the music as well. So it was a treat. Thank you, Brian.
And he got to kiss the girl. He got to kiss the girl. He was leading man.
Ooh.
I did. I got to kiss the girl.
Ooh. Whoa.
That's always a good ending to any story, you know. It's like,
yes,
yeah, exactly. We're coming to see your show. We're coming on, I think, the 17th of September or something like that. We're coming to see your one man. I can't wait to see you.
Wonderful! Oh, wonderful, wonderful! I look forward to it. That's great. I'm so pleased to know you'll be there. Make my day.
Yeah. And despite the fact that we have history and the like, Mariana is also, not despite, but having nothing to do with that, she on her own has discovered you and is a great fan of your many talents. And also, you know, it's a treat to be able to kind of watch that, you know, energy and that enthusiasm and go, yeah, well, I was kind of there first, you know. Like, I've loved him since 1974, so get in line.
Yeah. It's wonderful to know that. It really is. Thank you so much.
And Peter, I will be sharing that information too. Just text it to me or send it to me, and I'll share the deets on that.
I will do that, definitely. Thank you.
Mariana and Paul, I kind of got stuck with this thing with Paul saying he at one time he wanted to be something like Oscar Levant and Donny Osmond,
right.
It's the way I describe myself, actually.
Yeah, well, it kind of went through a bit of a blender. I'm glad that y'all were there to talk because my mind was in a bit of a blender about that until I finally thought it came to me as, what would that be like? Like when I've seen, and you've probably seen too, Daniel Radcliffe doing Tom Lehrer songs.
Oh.
You know.
Is that true, or are you just making it
Tom
up?
Lehrer? No, and I can't remember. It might have been on Fallon or something, but I saw Tom. I
oh
saw
my gosh,
Daniel Radcliffe doing Tom Lehrer songs.
Oh, how interesting.
Oh, yeah, with that show that that Jimmy Fallon did about actors doing phones, yeah.
That might have been it. So
uh-huh.
I thought, oh, it can't exist. So this has been great. Guys, final notes from everybody, because I know I've kept you too long, Mariana, and I'm so grateful for you being so generous with your time and your stories and your talents. Bringing your showbiz friends
right
on the show. And
I hope to get to Atlanta one day, and I'll look you up at Hotlanta.
Oh, yes, you will, in the ATL. And speaking of Atlanta, Mariana, when I was watching the Vimeo, the one where Paul introduces you, you're telling the story, and you said you do accents well, and you did a few during the show. Thank you for doing a Southern accent that sounded like, I know, Paul, you thought I was in New York City, didn't you? But anyway, thank you for doing it.
It's my pleasure, Vincent. You got to hear Mariana do the accent. She has a Southern accent that is remarkable.
When I heard her do it today on the video, I thought, thank goodness, a Southern accent that doesn't make me cringe, even if it were to sound like my cousins who can't understand me. It didn't make me cringe. It didn't sound like an overdone Scarlett O'Hara. So, yes, I know you do accents.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks for the airtime. It's really good to meet you, Jennifer. So Peter and Mariana, I hope I get to see both of you really soon. Oh, that's right, Mariana, you're upstairs.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to the guinea pig cage then.
You go back to that. Okay.
Thank you, Paul. My gosh.
Bye-bye,
all righty, God bless.
Thank you, it was so much fun.
Come.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So
bye,
very
Peter.
Much.
Bye, Jennifer.
Wait,
bye-bye,
I'm not
Jennifer.
Through with you yet, Mariana. Well, I guess it's just me and you, Peter. Peter.
Okay.
Everyone else is gone. How do you feel? Want another drink?
I feel delighted that I was included in this little party. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
I am thrilled. Listen, this has been like a gift, you know, like a gift that I didn't know was going to come my way. So I am superbly grateful. And as soon as she mentioned you and I began looking up things about you, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And then she gets her celebrity friend. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes,
she brings her celebrity friend, Peter Elbling, and her celebrity husband, and of course she is a celebrity. So yeah, this show has been a real gift for me. So I just want to say thank you so much. I know I've got to let you go. Thank you for being so generous with your time and your stories, and I look forward. Good luck on the contest this week, The Greatest Storyteller, Long Beach Search, and I'm going to close out with my song, with my philosophy, Everybody's Got to Swing. Peter, come back soon, okay?
I would love to, and thank you for having me. Take care.
Well, I am thrilled too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mother Goose.